The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. Good morning. It is Thursday, January 20th. How that date has a... It rings a bell. It lifts the spirits. Well, it can be pretty depressing if it's last year, but I'm a forward thinking guy. It's January 20th, 2022. Today begins the second year of the Biden nightmare. We made it, at least in, you know, if survival is the bar, we made it. And you know something? Biden is president. Republicans do not have the majority in the House. We do not have the majority in the Senate. And yet the Biden agenda is crumbling in front of our faces. If the president himself did not actually literally collapse at the news conference yesterday, his agenda is collapsing. And part of the reason why is some in his own party recognize the dangerous radicalism that is taking place. God bless Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who refused to go along with the steamrolling of the changing of the Senate rule, the filibuster rule. They wanted to do this so that they could shoehorn voting rights legislation. And I don't even, you know what? Voting federalization, voting nationalization. Because when you put something in the form of rights, then it enables people to say, well, you're either in favor of rights or against rights. No one is against voting rights, okay? Voting rights are good. Everybody has the right to vote. Everybody has the ability to vote. And we have contorted ourselves in all kinds of ways with this poison that is early voting. Have you guys been listening to me for 20 odd years telling you that early voting is the devil's work? That it's ridiculous to open up the polls 2 weeks before the election day? It's just stupid to have people vote at T-minus 16 days, T-minus 13 days, and then they learn something at T-minus 5 days and makes them go, don't, I wish I might have changed my mind. Now, that may not be very many people, but it's some, and it's just ridiculous. And then that's before you even get into the ballot verification, ballot harvesting, mail-in voting, the insecure, sloppy, easy-to-cheat methodology that Democrats are fighting for every day. That's what they're fighting for. And Joe Biden in this news conference yesterday, I've got some just a few golden excerpts. I am not going to beat you down with 3 hours of Joe Biden audio. You know the policies are bad, but there were a couple of things, there were really two things that were just the worst. If he's going to insult his opponents, if he's going to do what Democrats do, and that is to slap a reflex, false racial insult at people just for disagreeing with him about something, that's in the Democrat playbook forever, at least own it. Philip Wegman, Washington Post reporter, tried to bring that up. It's like, do you really? I mean, you really want to call people Bull Connor and George Wallace? And he said, I didn't call him that. I didn't call him that. Yes, sir, you did. Because here's a clue. If I say something about you, and I don't have to say you are Hitler, okay? But if I say, you know, if you're siding with this guy versus that guy, it's kind of like the Germans in the 30s making a decision on whether or not to vote for Hitler. You're calling somebody Hitler. Placing them in that camp and doing so for just the low craven, execrable, cheap political points that come from that kind of insult. And he doesn't even acknowledge that he's doing it. Prayers up for Attorney General Ken Paxton, who has a little rough ride through COVID, apparently. He's not on a ventilator, not in the hospital, apparently not heading in that direction, but apparently got some pretty rough symptoms. So he's, as some in his camp say, taking care of the business of the people of Texas from his house. That'll keep him off the campaign trail for a little bit, so hope he's doing well. Let me share just one thing if I can, because I was curious, you know, because everybody's going to ask. And by the way, it's a question worth asking if you get somebody, especially, you know, especially a Republican these days, and they wind up with a bout of COVID. It's like, okay, were you vaccinated? And I didn't want to assume. You know, so I kind of asked the question, said, you know, and it's like that answer has not exactly been forthcoming. I would look for it to be, please, because whether it's Ron DeSantis or Ken or all kinds of people I love and all kinds of folks, you know, et cetera, answer the dang question. Oh, it's his personal medical business. Well, no kidding, Sherlock. I know that. Of course it is. And if you're some Joe on the street and somebody walks up to you and says, hey, are you vaccinated? You can tell them to take a hike. But if you seek to lead a country, a state, et cetera, or in some form, it's pretty, it's an indicator of where you stand on a key public policy issue. So it's kind of funny. I just kind of presumed Ken was, I wouldn't say for sure without, because most of the people who are not tend to go full Don Huffines and full Alan West. And you know what? I'm going to give those guys props. They are proudly unvaccinated. What Don say on the show the other day? You can go get the vaccine 10 times if you want to. That's your business. I have not gotten the shot, and I will never get the shot. Okay. And you can think that's awesome or squirrely or whatever, but at least he'll tell you. DeSantis the other day asked, have you gotten the booster? Well, people can do what they want to do. Well, no kidding. Did you get the booster? And the reason it's important is because we're looking for people to lead. Which constituency do you want to lead? If you are vaccinated, say so, and you thus lead in that direction. If you are not vaccinated, say so. You will delight a different corner of people, but they will, at least they will know. The reason. Republicans, the Republicans who are not answering that. Are there any Democrats you haven't answered? I don't think so. They'll say, yes, I'm vaccinated. And off you go. Are there any, RFK Jr., any Democrat anti-vaxxers? And by the way, if you haven't gotten the shot, it doesn't make you an anti-vaxxer. It means you've decided not to do it for yourself. By the way, if you have not gotten it, there are tons of people who say, listen, I got no problem with the vaccine, but I've got some medical condition or something, or I've got something. So that's fine. But how you navigate and how you triangulate through that issue is a big deal to voters. It says something about you, and that is absolutely a question you should answer, okay? And the other thing is, if you don't, it just makes you look like you're weaseling away from something. So anyway, there are two reasons. Why? Let's say they're a conservative Republican. There are two reasons why you won't answer the question. One is the answer is no, you're not vaccinated and you just don't want to catch the grief. The other reason is yes, you are vaccinated and you just don't want to catch the grief. And by that, I mean, if you say yes, I am, because honestly, I think DeSantis totally did the booster. Didn't want to say so. Because there might be people in his base who are a little, vaccine hostile, who might not admire that so much about him. Well, guess what? Here's what leadership is. Be upfront about things and let the chips fall where they may. So that would be my advice to everybody. In the Attorney General's race, George P. Bush will join us tomorrow at 8:35. And you know me, you know how I'm doing this whole campaign season. I don't need 12 minutes of people just talking about how awesome they are and said, well, by the way, I'll let them. I mean, if there's something they want to tout about themselves, of course, that's great. That's great. But we know the awesome things about you. I'm looking for differences between you and the incumbent, differences between you and the alternatives to the incumbent. Okay. We'll do that at 8:35 today with Keith Self, longtime Collin County judge, longtime friend of mine, running against Van Taylor in Congressional District 3. I think Keith is awesome. He was a great county judge. He's a great guy, incredible military service. Does that matter? Not really. But by that, I mean, it matters to me. It's why I love him. But does that matter in terms of the 3rd District Congressional primary? This is the old Sam Johnson seat that Van Taylor came into in 2018. And was reelected in 2020 and now seeking his third term. And there's only one question, and that is, does that district want to fire Van Taylor? Now, to Keith's credit, his website contains some things that are some pretty big complaints about Van Taylor. That's what I'm going to ask him about. So there we are there. But anyway, with regard to the AG race, George P. was at an event and gave Ken some shade. You ready? For suing all these school districts. And the George P. quote was like, well, now all these school districts are having to spend their money being sued by their own state. Well, yeah. Do any of you not like that? Greg Abbott signs an executive order saying that school districts can't have mask mandates. He's totally entitled to do that. Some of the big blue school districts immediately ignore him and go rogue and have mask mandates anyway. So lawsuits are flying in every direction. It's being battled out in the courts, as it should be. So George P. is giving grief to Paxton for suing the big city blue school districts in Texas who are flouting Governor Abbott's executive order against mask mandates. So, okay, we'll ask George P. about that tomorrow. At 8:35. Okay, before we better pray up before we head into the Biden excerpts. please, Lord, help us. And in all seriousness, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation, for your hand in creating it. Please fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Lord, be with us as we chart a course out of this ever-changing COVID nightmare. Help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we fight for the unborn, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill. And our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. You know, there are things I pray for in here, and they're not political at all. They're because I want the country to be better. Does it say something that when I put up an actual prayer, when I ask God himself, I don't ask God for certain levels of taxation. I don't ask, God for, whether or not to preserve the filibuster. I mean, I could. I mean, that's fine. But the things that I choose to put in the prayer are the things that are simply objectively good and right. The Constitution being honored, elections being reliable, borders that work, fighting for the unborn. What does it say to you that Joe Biden stands against every single one of those things? Some of the Biden lowlights from yesterday, next. 7:21, Mark Davis. No, it cannot be. Still shouting it out loud. On his 70th birthday, out front of Kiss. That was Gene Simmons right there. But no, Paul Stanley, kids, is 70. Shall we let him get to the chorus for that? Let's do it all together now. You got to have a party. I bet he will. Man, oh man, oh man. And still touring, I believe. And I think the last time I saw Kiss was, it wasn't that long ago, and they were like bringing it. And you know what? While they are still able to do it, why do we never secure them for the Super Bowl? I think that would just be awesome. Who wouldn't love that? So anyway, this year we got Eminem and a bunch of rappers, whatever. And anyway, where in the world to begin? I think if you're asking what's the worst thing Biden did, the worst insult is just garden variety. You don't agree with me, so you're racist. We'll dwell on that for a second. But remember when Democrats told us, the media culture told us, you dare not throw shade at election integrity. You better not suggest that if you suggest that our elections are hinky, if you suggest that there's something not quite right afoot in the world of our election vote counting, oh, that makes you a terrible person. You're attacking the institutions and foundations of democracy, right? Well, here's Joe. It's a blatant lie. And let's see if I can actually get him to say it. Voter suppression is a myth. Okay, let me just make this clear that voter suppression is a myth. I put out the constant daily call for anyone to tell me how they wanted to vote in 2020, but were not able to. Here's Joe.
Maybe I'm just being too much of an optimist. Remember how we thought not that many people were going to show up to vote in the middle of a pandemic? We had the highest voter turnout in the history of the United States of America.
Doesn't that kind of undermine a point you're trying to make, that votes were somehow suppressed?
Well, I think if, in fact, no matter how hard they make it for minorities to vote,
lie,
you're going to see them willing to stand in line and defy the attempt to keep them from being able to vote.
And what is that imagery that he is attempting to foist? That is this like standing up to the water cannons on the Edmund Pettus Bridge? I mean, what? I'm just, please, somebody tell me about the story of you wanted to vote and had to overcome some horrific Jim Crow 2.0 obstacle in order to vote. It is fiction. It is a damnable lie.
I think you're going to see the people we're trying to keep from being able to showing up and making the sacrifice that needs to be made in order to change the law back to what it should be.
This is the worst. And I think Mike and I talked about this, and by the way, we may be about to talk about it again. Mike's in Vegas, woohoo, at the SHOT Show. Wonderful Second Amendment of vibe coursing through that event. Let's ask him about that, how he absorbed the Biden news conference. But this notion that there are evil attempts underway, this is an attempt to besmirch the effort to improve security of our elections. Voting by mail is for the birds in most cases. Ballot harvesting is evil. Relaxing and in some cases sidelining the methods we have for voter security, signature verification, photo, voter ID. There's one party that wants to make voting more secure and one party that doesn't. I rest my case. Let's head to Vegas and talk to Brother Mike next. Into the newsroom we go. Here's Gordon Griffin. Mike's in Vegas. So I wanted to do something that had kind of a big showbiz vibe. But Mike, I think I've stumbled across a theme song for the segment every once in a while, just to ride with me here.
Two of a kind, for your information, with two of a kind.
The Mark and Mike experience.
It's my observation, we're two of a kind.
Let's face it, Mark, if we were to take this conversation and, I don't know, expand it in a way in 2022,
yes. Would that be a good idea?
There are a lot of these kind of songs.
I think there are. Friendship.
Depends on how hokey Cole Friendship. Yeah. I mean, it just depends on how cheesy and hokey and schmaltzy.
I am all about cheesy and hokey and schmaltzy. That is Bobby Darin. Now, if this is the case, that's Bobby Darin and Johnny Mercer.
Bobby Darin, of course, Bobby Darin. Johnny Mercer, a lyricist, wrote Moon River, Days of Wine and Roses. And Bobby Darin and Johnny Mercer put out an album called Two of a Kind in 1960. Look at that.
Nice.
There you go.
My birth year. Very cool.
Oh, even adding to the significance. Whoa, okay. Listen, here's what I always want. You woke up in the middle of the night in Vegas. You're doing the SHOT Show.
Correct.
Great. Where is it? Describe to me your path from the hotel room to getting in the building.
Well, I don't really care because despite being in the middle of this giant shooting, hunting, outdoor trade show at this beautiful, beautiful resort, we're right in the middle, smack dab this year on the convention floor of the Venetian Expo.
Oh, my gosh. Sweet.
It's beautiful. Right. But, you know, it's early here, so not a lot of – there's 45, 47,000 people here. Uneventful because none of it matters. I don't care about – Biden's train wreck of a press conference.
Right.
I don't care that the country has fallen apart at the seams. I don't care about any of it because...
What is it?
I'm going to go see Adele tomorrow night.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, that's going to be
third
great.
Third row.
That's
third row.
Good. Now, where is she? Where's
she's at Caesars.
Does she have
she's
a... Is,
Caesar's
she,
Palace.
She shouldn't have a... it's not a residency, is it? I mean, she's
I don't know if it's a residency or not. Joey Hudson, who's out here with me, he's the morning host, of course, and my dear friend and business manager from South Carolina. He told me last night, he goes, "You don't like Adele, do you?" I said, "Like Adele?
She's
who doesn't
wonderful.
Like Adele?"
She's
so
great.
Good.
Has a brand new album. All of her albums are her age at the time of the like. So I think her albums are 19, 21, 25, and now her most recent is 30, and it's just
and
fantastic.
Now she's svelte.
She's dropped she's like literally half her prior weight. And
she's dropped dead gorgeous. I mean, she was always
stunning.
A beautiful woman, but
yep.
She looks stupendous. So anyhow, tomorrow
now,
night,
real quick,
but
I got to do something. Yep. I got to do something because it's just one of my favorite jokes, and it's from a guy who drives me insane, Seth Meyers. But here was the joke, because first of all, for those who don't know, a residency is when you just set up. I think Britney Spears had one, Celine Dion had one, Elton John had
one.
It was just understood that you're going to be in Vegas for like 3-4 months, maybe longer, and people can come see you anytime they want because you're just there, living there, hence the term residency, and you're just there doing show after show after show. Adele's strong suit are fairly heart-tugging laments of lost love and missed opportunity. I mean, these are some. Not everything she does.
Her biggest hit is Rage.
Give My Love to Your New Lover, kind of a good sort of revenge elbow thing. So that's in there. But most of her songs are what you might call really, really sad and almost mournful, leading to the following joke of maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And it goes like this. Adele threw an impromptu small venue concert in Lower Manhattan in Greenwich Village the other night. It was only announced at the last minute. There was a long line to get in. Those who were not able to attend were disappointed. Those who did make it in were inconsolable. Anyway, I messed
that
up the joke.
I did that on the plane. I was crying. I was ugly crying on the flight last night because I watched Dear Evan Hansen. Now, that's a Broadway hit, and
right.
I wanted to see how they made the movie version. It's one of the saddest stories you'll ever see in your life.
In a nutshell? No spoilers?
A kid inadvertently tells a lie about the suicide of a high school classmate, and it's just a whole...
Feel-good hit
horrible.
Of the summer, dang.
Oh, yeah. Listen, by the time I pulled into the gate here in Vegas, I was
counseling.
Tears streaming down my... sobbing, you know. And I was probably sobbing because I had to go 8 hours with a mask on the plane. That was no fun. But anyway, here we are. You were right. I watched your tweet yesterday where you said, it's Biden press conference viewing time. Who would have ever thunk? Who would have thunk it? That it was every bit as epically horrific and disastrous as you predicted it would be. Mm-hmm. Mark, CNN is calling him out. CNN, it was jarring to hear him. He was incoherent. He was raging. He lied. And by the way, I'm waiting for you to congratulate me. What did I say to you yesterday about the theory that I have about why Democrats are setting us up over this whole this whole melodrama about why voting rights has to pass. They are setting it up to question the outcome of the midterm elections.
Yep.
And Biden confirmed it yesterday.
That's right.
He won't. He's already saying if voting rights don't get passed, I can't say that the midterm election results will be legitimate. Well, guess what? They didn't get passed. So that must mean he's already setting the Mark, I told you all along, they're too smart. They're too savvy. They're too shrewd. They're too devious. They can't be this dumb, this obtuse. No, 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 no. There's a long-term agenda here. And the long-term agenda is we're going to say Republicans hijacked the midterms because they didn't pass voting rights.
It's rigged. Therefore, it's the equivalent of it's rigged. It's all rigged. It is their version of that.
Now, explain to me how you can ruin people's lives for saying that over November 2020.
Exactly.
But they're already saying it about the midterms,
yep.
Mark.
And I'm going to give you additional credit because there's another bit of imagery that you've thrown down. Here's the next thing where Mike is going to prove prescient, and that is your reference to, what is the term you use? The midterm variant. The midterm variant, where you
That's
absolutely
right.
know that authoritarians who would otherwise be willing to do so anyway, there's going to be ramped up concern over COVID so that they can come at the 22 elections in the same way that they jacked with 2020. If they can't do it based on race baiting, they'll do it based on COVID. Ways to jack around with voting procedure in order to make cheating easier because it's their stock in
trade.
Absolutely. Yep.
Now let me ask Mr. Texas a couple things because I've got some questions for you.
Sure,
I want to veer off a little bit of the big breaking news with Biden's press conference, the SHOT Show, all the cool things we're going to do today, beginning at 10:05. Dan Crenshaw, what is going on with Dan Crenshaw?
Well, if you
I'm
could,
sure you've seen the video.
I have. There are a couple of them. Which of the three? First of all, I love him. He's a quirky fellow. There's something. Let me just shut up and ask you which of the three or four things you are referring to.
Well, I thought I loved him, but maybe I don't. I don't know. I'm getting email from North Texas every day saying this guy, you can't trust him. They're turning on him. He was at some kind of a gathering, looked like a little town hall meeting or something.
Yeah, is this the don't question my faith excerpt?
Starts yelling at this little girl. She was 14 years old. Don't you dare question my faith. And the audience turned on him. And then here's another video of him becoming unhinged, reportedly, when asked why he attacks Marjorie Taylor Greene more than he attacks AOC. And he went
exactly.
off.
Exactly. So
is he a rhino?
I don't think so. Well, it depends on how we really define that. I actually have a pretty high bar for rhino status. You've got to really, really thwart the goals of conservatism and almost take pride in doing it. I'm going to stipulate that not everybody's going to be as conservative as I am. Not everybody's going to be Ted Cruz and Louis Gohmert. But my rhino label, I keep that close to the vest for people who really deserve it. In the case of the young lady who went after, it was a kind of a snotty question. But guess what? If you're the congressman and you get a snotty question, don't get in high dudgeon in return. Keep your cool. Just keep your cool and just keep moving. No matter what happens, your toe's still tapping.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I've got a good friend who follows Texas politics like nobody's business. And he's kind of, besides you, he's my go-to. And here's his flat-out declaration. Crenshaw is terrible. He has to be defeated. He is a total crazy rhino.
I don't know who that is. Is it somebody? I don't know if it's somebody I know.
He's credible.
It's
somebody credible. But
I think that's. I think that's overstated. And maybe this is. I mean, there's no nuance left anymore. Crenshaw has a long list of doing things that I just absolutely love. A couple of things that are a little, because what was the other example you gave? Not the girl. Coming after Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Asking about why he attacks Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Okay. I can't read minds, but let's go Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, anybody else? You know where I'm going. Anybody else in that, there's some folks put Louis in that. I wouldn't, Louis Gohmert. But the folks who are absolutely as conservative as the day is long and are awesome in that regard, but who there's some bad moments in there that are unforced errors that just attract needless ridicule.
But everybody bad moments. But everybody has bad. So are they true to the core? Are they true to the cause?
Right.
Do we believe
in them? Do we trust
them?
That's what matters. Exactly right. Every time somebody says, oh, here's another weird blurt from Marjorie Taylor Greene, I say, okay, whatever. I want to know how the woman votes, what she stands for, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I care about.
You said something very, very important, Mark. You understand a whole lot of people put Louis Gohmert in that same category. You know, when there a lot of people judge him the way they judge Marjorie Taylor Greene and Crenshaw and everybody else. So, you know, and you don't. So somebody listening might say, well, Mark, you were almost there. You almost got it. No, you're right. I mean, we listen, it's time we stop turning on each other. These guys are a train. This is an implosion of a Democratic Party like we've never seen in our lifetime. We've never seen this before. Now's the time. Now's the time to do this, to step up, and we got to seal the deal in November. We got to seal the deal in 2024. I don't know who's going to be at the top of the ticket in 2024, but I like our chances across the
board. I do too, and you are so completely right. And it doesn't mean, by the way, if there's a serious policy difference that Republicans, listen, it's what we do. There's always blood on the walls, you know, coming after each other for something. And if it's real policy differences, that's what the primary season is for. That's great, and I never shy away from that. I often take part of that because I'm looking for the most conservative path forward. But if it's just ticky-tack style over, you know, personal stuff like that, it's not helpful. And I will join you and whoever this other person is in saying that is not the best use of Dan Crenshaw's time. Likelihood of him losing in the primary is zero. So there's that.
Okay. I don't know. They once said that about Liz Cheney. Dan Crenshaw Liz Cheney?
Well, no, dude.
What's he?
Okay, I mean, Liz Cheney has done almost nothing but savage everyone who ever supported her and destroy and burn every bridge she ever built toward conservative governance.
Agreed.
This is a couple of things from Crenshaw, and I still don't know if she's going to lose.
Has Crenshaw defended Liz Cheney? I believe he has.
Okay, a year. I think that somebody dug up, and the short answer is yes. Let's talk about lately, because there were a lot of people who were roped into this January 6th cult and who sort of wanted to think well of it and give it a chance. And Liz Cheney has spent years being awesome. She was, I mean, I talked about her as maybe being the first Republican woman president. I mean, 6-7 years ago when Trump broke her. When Trump hatred destroyed her mind, her heart, and her spine.
Infected her brain.
Oh, my Lord. Now, there was, in those opening days, I think people went back and found a January 2021 tweet where Dan Crenshaw said that Liz is solid and, you know, it was the notion of whether she should continue to be the head of the House Republican Conference, which I immediately said no.
Right.
Immediately said no. I don't care what you've done last year, last week, last month, or ever. The minute you join the Trump hate cult, I am done with you, Dan. Was slow to get there. And listen, if you want to pin him with that, I'll join you in pinning him with that. Does he feel that way now?
Well,
I don't think so. But I like people who reach the right conclusion faster rather than slower.
The beauty of our technological team is they bring the MyPillow text line feature with me. So here I have in front of me, and spinning like a little top, our comments about our conversation about Dan Crenshaw. Mike, you must try to get to the bottom of why Mark is inexplicably defending Dan Crenshaw. He showed his true colors early on. Mike, Crenshaw's a D to Rhino. He's for red flag laws, among other non-conservative things. In my circles, we call him Cringe Shaw. Mike, tell Mark he did defend Liz Cheney like a week ago. Mike, primary Dan Crenshaw, he's got to go. That he's not a conservative. So I'm just, the dogs don't seem to like
I understand, is he my favorite Texas Republican? No. Let's see.
Dan Crenshaw defended Liz Cheney a week ago, Mark,
I'm going to be really, really frank here. I don't know what language that was, and we're about done, and let me go looking for it. I will tell you, it was about a week ago that Twitter was flooded with the Crenshaw quote. And the Crenshaw quote was from a year ago. So it was a week ago that people offered that up. And a whole lot of people said, "Bob, did he just say that?" And he didn't. But
Like the Biden clip, by the way. That they played just recently. And they actually thought it was when he compared Martin Luther King to George Floyd.
Mm.
And people didn't realize, not that it was any better in June of 2020.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of the comparison,
you and I,
Mike, compared every day by Joe Biden, compared to Bull Connor, compared to George Wallace at his worst. Compared
George Wallace,
we've been compared to all of the compared to Jefferson Davis. We've been compared to Democrat. We've been compared to those
all
dreadful
Democrats.
People for sticking up for election security. Joe Biden thinks you, Mike Gallagher, and I, Mark Davis, that we are virulent racists, and there must be accountability for that kind of
slander. As I hit one of the big headlines today, beginning at 10:05 from the SHOT Show here in Las Vegas. How Texas has recovered all the jobs lost when COVID-19 hit. Texas and Arizona have joined two other states in recovering all the jobs that were lost. They ain't saying that about New York, my friend.
No, they are.
They're not.
Not
saying that about California.
No, they are
that
not.
They're not saying that about Illinois. They're not saying that about blue states. God bless Texas. God bless you. Jury's out on Dan Crenshaw, but we shall see.
He ain't going to lose. He ain't going to lose. So there's that. But
he won't lose if you don't get on the bandwagon and say he ought to be primaried. Come on.
Maybe we need to
jump on that.
That deadline is come and gone. Huh? It's 6 weeks away. He ain't going to lose.
Right in, Mark Davis.
Anyway, awesome day at the SHOT Show. Second Amendment glory is on display all over the place. Can't wait to hear the show today.
Yes, sir.
And
everywhere.
So your days there are
freedom bursting out all over.
Your day today and tomorrow, correct? So back in Vegas tomorrow, right? Right.
Today and tomorrow, cool. And back in the home base on Monday in Tampa. So quick trip. And Adele, I'll tell you all about Adele Monday morning.
I can't wait. That is fantastic.
I may get a t-shirt. Would I look silly with an Adele t-shirt?
No,
maybe so.
Not at all. Not at all. You can use that as the disguise
maybe
for getting your
get
latest COVID test. Mike Gallagher, everybody. He's in Vegas today at the SHOT Show, and he'll be there for you at 10 o'clock on 660 AM. It's... All right, so let's go to the Montgomery County Tea Party meeting where a 10-year-old girl gave some heat to Dan Crenshaw, and he might not have handled it so well. We'll pass judgment on that. And whether Dan has had an epiphany in the intervening year about Liz Cheney. Is Crenshaw kind of a cool guy that we kind of like and we're glad he's there? Or is he a poisonous rhino who must be purged? Your thoughts, 866-660-5759. We pay attention to all these folks. We got a lot of leaders, a lot of people, a lot of rock stars, a lot of folks who are attracting a lot of attention, and my bar is real high for them, behaviorally and attitudinally and ideologically. So let's put Big Dan under the microscope, if you wish, along with other things, like the post-mortem on that news conference and various other things as well. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Stick around.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.